Yep.
Here's a thing that just happened, is Andrew didn't realize his volume wasn't up all the way. So is he yelling now, or have you guys not been yelling before? There's any number of possibilities. Anyway, this is Yoast is Racist.
That's right. We get to it quick now. This is the podcast where we listen to your voicemail questions about racism with the help of a special guest or guests. And this time we do have just that. We have two guests.
You know them.
Friends of the show. We're friends of their show. We're friends in real life. Everybody's friends. Friendship is great. That's the one thing the pandemic has not killed, is friendship. Well, it has in some ways, but not these friendships. We have Andy Beckerman and Naomi Ekparagon from Couples Therapy. Welcome, guys.
Hey, everyone.
Hey.
What's up? Do you think in the pandemic, your friendship, it's clarified who you actually like?
Yes.
Mm. Definitely.
Yep. I will say this. Andy and I arguably are... I won't say better friends, but different friends, because we are the co-heads of the world's weirdest pack of dogs. That was a thing that became very clear in COVID, I guess, pandemic
in quarantine. Quar.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that, If you're a resident of Los Angeles and you see just a bunch of dogs that shouldn't be together, not really getting along that well, and you see me and Andy behind them.
Behind them is the key. That's the best part. They're leading. The dogs are always leading.
We're just holding massive bags of feces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of... That's been me and Andy hanging quite a lot. Has been the dogs, and the dogs are warming up to each other. Mm-hmm. But I mean, first of all, the two dogs I have only kind of like each other. Mabel's like 50-50 on like animals.
On animals, period. Right. Yeah. So also we have to remember too, for the listener, these dogs, there are three old ladies. Okay. These dogs are about average age 20. That's exaggerating, but the fact is they're old.
Not that much of an exaggeration.
Yeah. In human years, the average age is Crypt Keeper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. So these are elderly dogs, and they don't have to like anyone. We don't. Exactly. I like that Mabel is encouraging us all to keep a social distance, and I appreciate that.
She is naturally saying, get up out my face. And that's beautiful.
A question. Is the Crypt Keeper like an old humanoid type thing, or is it a young ghoul? Like for what it is. Is it
young?
Like I'm placing human standards of age onto the
Crypt Keeper. I think the Crypt Keeper, it's funny that you say, is he a young ghoul? I guess in terms of ghoul ages, I guess he's young. To me, I always thought he was like a pervy old man. You know what I mean? Like 70-year-old skeleton. Because he would make like sexual puns, you know, sometimes.
Oh, I don't remember this as well. I wasn't allowed to watch it because my parents were trying to pretend we were Christians. I lived in a very Christian conservative town and my parents did not care, but my dad would try to act like we were that way too. I think to fit in, that's the only time anyone's ever tried to be worse for clout.
I mean, Tani, can we just talk about how our relationship has grown over the pandemic due to Marco Polo?
Speaking of friendship. Truly speaking of friendship.
Oh!
Yes. App has brought us together. Now I can access Tani whenever I want. Do you know that? Because she's a moving target, honey. Is she in Vancouver? Is she in Atlanta? Is she in a desert? You can never find her.
Is she in Uruguay?
Naturally. Like, even before there was COVID. And so, to know this whole time now, I can polo you. You're going to get back to me in 48 hours. Within.
I tend to. Yeah.
And I see the face. I see what you're doing. You're sitting here in a makeup chair getting some conditioning, telling me how to live my life, and I need it.
Yes. I've been loving having this connection because then there's no pressure of like, are they available now? Can I text with them? Am I interrupting them? Are they driving while they're texting? Am I encouraging them to be illegal? No. And then yes, you get to see the whole world. I get to see your apartment. We can talk about hair things. It's been delightful.
It's been real good.
I dropped the ball on Marco Poloing with Andy. Very significantly.
Oh, me too. I have 10 unread Marco Polos from about 10 months ago.
You have 10?
Here's part of it. Is even though it's probably socially unacceptable. First of all, Marco Polo, for anyone listening, is basically like text message or video messaging, but like with the implication that like you get to it when you get to it. There's no time pressure.
Yeah.
These little packets arrive
10 months later.
Yeah. I think my problem is I treat regular text messages that way. So to me, I was like, this feels like I would rather just get an iMessage and respond to it 3 days later.
But see, it just that comes, though, with people feeling a way about that. Because yeah. I understand I can be like that, too. And people get a little annoyed. Whereas I feel like with a polo, you let a polo go for a week and it's like, "Woo, sorry, girl, I didn't have time to turn on a camera and talk to you for 3 minutes." And everyone's like, "I get that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Polo exactly. me when you can."
Mm-hmm. Also, I come to polo very rugged, very natural. Okay, I will come to you in a polo looking like old dirty bastard, and I'm like, "Let's get into it," because I just like miss seeing humans, and I just like want to see your face. And I'm like, "Honey, I'm done with the facade. We've been in a pandemic for a year. Me. I'm done with the facade.
Not me. I need to. If I'm gonna polo someone, I need to be showered.
You're coming camera ready."
Yes, camera ready. And so that only, and because in the pandemic, I'm now showering at like 5 PM. There's only so much, and then I'm basically cooking dinner then. So when do I have time to polo? I ask everyone. I submit.
He submit.
To I mean, you, I wasn't. The hosts and the listeners alike. Mm-hmm. When?
Now, speaking of camera ready, this is not a segue, but my tone of voice sounds like it is.
Yeah.
You have a podcast called Couples Therapy. And on it, you have changed the format since the last time Andrew and I have been a part of it. Is that to do with the pandemic, or was that part of your recent like independence from networks and whatnot?
Both, but I think pandemic primarily.
The pandemic forced what would have eventually, either it would have died or or we would have been forced if we're like, well, why don't we keep doing this because it's fun?
Yes, we now have guests. And we still kind of do two versions. We'll answer questions, or we will talk to people about their relationship, you know? Like, for instance, we had Tig, Nataro, and Stephanie Allen on, and that was, like, a fun... Like, it was like, tell me about this love. Tell me about these twins. Yeah. Tell me about comedy. But mostly we like to answer questions, which is just my favorite. Ooh, I love putting in my two cents. I love it.
Look, the show... This is what the show originally was. It was a stand-up show where we had duos doing... Like, whether they could be just best friends or lovers or ex-lovers or siblings, whatever.
Co-hosts like Toddy and Andrew, Chinese Crab Club.
Do sets just together.
Any combination of two people.
Any combination of two people who like each other.
About or okay. not. Remember the exes who
that spent never goes well.
25 minutes going over their relationship that didn't. This is no, when it was just you. A stand-up show in New York before it was even a podcast. But...
Y'all cannot see all the hand motions. Andy be coming in with so many hand motions.
Naomi, I feel like that's an attack on my Jewish identity.
Oh my God, I didn't mean to erase you. Go ahead.
But it was a stand-up show for a long time, and it was originally supposed to be like two dope queens. Here's a season of the live show. And then the corporate dictates of iHeartRadio.
Come on, get into it. Get into
the
it.
The corporate dictates get of iHeartRadio was like, it has to be weekly. It must be weekly. And so we had to be like, I guess we'll do other things like answer advice questions. And then it turns out the answering advice questions was more fun for everyone. Involved hosts, guests, and audience alike.
Thank you, corporate dictator.
No.
Thank you, corporate overlords. No. I love you. Them. You helped us. No.
Every corporate dictator is the best.
Yeah, thank you.
If they had done what we wanted to, success immediately.
Success immediately.
Look, you don't have to tell us. This is an anti-network zone. This is a safe space to talk about, you know, networks being trash. We don't have to pull any punches here.
Oh, we don't. I pull punches all the time. When we're talking about money,
let those punches follow through. Follow them through.
We'll
put your weight behind them.
Maybe.
We have to pull our punches with corporations we are currently working with and
of course.
Yeah, right. But then anyone else. Yeah. Oh, I'll talk about you. I'll even talk about family. And I'll just let the chips fall where they may.
That's not true.
Well, not your family, but my family.
We have let the chips fall where they may, and they have fallen in bad places.
Yeah.
Places behind the couch that you can't get. So
you may watch us not have any chips there.
This is a real segue, kind of. Talk about family members, talk about friendships, relationships, the sanctity of a Marco Polo. Let's talk about the sanctity of a group text. And let's talk about if any of us were on a group text with, say, a politician, say, maybe a senator or somebody, and they were going to do some wild shit. Let's talk about the people who leaked these texts, who leaked Ted Cruz's and Heidi Cruz's family texts about them taking their ass to Cancun in the middle of, you know, some of the worst times in Texas's history. Do we stand these people? Are we mad at these people? I saw some discourse online that people felt like they were mad at the leakers of the group text. How do we feel about this?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he's such a sniveling worm. Of course you would mm-hmm. tattle on a sniveling worm.
Also, of course, his friends would also be sniveling worms. Do you know what I mean? Like right. the people he texted with.
Right. It's not
are
like
also
sniveling worms are not friends with people with integrity.
Right.
Right.
I'm
they're
a
not
little
friends
on
with
the...
other species.
Or at least not on the text of friends that you would text about the going to Cancun in the middle of the two double pandemics on top of each other.
Right.
I think that to me it's like the people who are like, "Oh, give it up for these people." It's like these people are still good enough friends with the goddamn Cruz family to be invited even, which makes them automatically repellent people. So right. I don't know. I mean, like how wonderful was this? Like if it's just like, yeah, Ted Cruz is so shitty even for the people he thinks are his friends. But
I didn't even know it was through text that everything was found out. I thought it was just they saw him in the airport.
His ass got caught in the airport, but then his lies about the damage control got exposed. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because he was like, "Oh, I was just going to drop off my daughter." He threw his children under the bus, which I was like, I kind of love that. I love any parent that's like, "Yeah, it was my fucking kid's fault." I think it's kind of funny. But he was like, "I had to get my daughters out of America because it is cold." Literally, he's like, "I'm wealthy and I had to get my daughters out of the country because of the cold." Makes no sense. And then Heidi Cruz's text to the group that are literally like, "Guys, it's freezing in the house. Anybody want to go to Cancun? The Ritz is only $300. Got sent to the New York Times.
Holy crap. That's hilarious.
Can I ask you guys a question about Ted Cruz?
Please. Now, I hope I don't know the answer.
Well, no, it's not factual. It's about your feelings. Now, he's a sniveling worm, as I said, right? He is just like a repellent, like one of the most repellent humans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On the earth.
He's
this like kind of like, what's weird to me is how embraced he is by the fascist right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now he's this, he's a Ivy League creep. He is, he is obviously has no integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like people, if they like bully him and then he starts like licking their in between their toes. You ever see like,
ew.
An R-rated anime where someone's licking...
In an R-rated anime.
I was thinking of Ninja Scroll particularly, which is
I'm going to tell you this, Andy. I feel like the two possible ratings for anime are G and X. And R is not an option.
There's a lot in the middle. Naomi and I watch a lot that's in the middle. Like okay,
all right,
fine.
All right, Pete, I would say PG-13 to... Is my rating system for anime.
What's your
question? So my question is, he's obviously like just this, like that eyeball thing from the end of Big Trouble in Little China. He's obviously that kind of creature, right? But he's embraced and loved. But like, he will probably, regardless of everything that's happened, he will probably get elected again in Texas, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, do you think there on the left, I was thinking about this morning. Do you think on the left, if there was a character like that, that was just disgusting and just like putrid, just like a human vomit, but that voted like was pro Green New Deal, was pro Medicare for all, like fought for all this kind of stuff, we would still embrace that. Like, I think there's something interesting about the fact that the fascist right embraces the most disgusting people just because they embrace their things. But on the left, even if he like wanted the same things we wanted, we would be like, we would drop him in a vat of acid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fascism, baby. That's how it works.
Exactly.
Succinct, Andrew. Very succinct. I was going to say...
That's a good t-shirt, by the way.
Look, and I don't think that these two people are the same at all, but I will look to how the left kind of treats like a Bill Maher. He's not my favorite person in many ways. And I think that sometimes people on the right think that we all like love him and think all of his
witty quips
are correct. And it's like, nah, man, I don't really fuck with that guy either. Like,
that's
just because
my favorite.
He made
it's like,
blue.
Oh, we're going to cancel Bill Maher. How are you going to feel then? It's like, yeah, good.
No, he said a lot of wild, sexist, weird shit that I'm just like, cool, I don't need him either. So yeah. I would hope.
You thought we'd be hurt by that? Good job, The Right.
Oh man, let me get rid of my Blu-ray copy of Religious that I watch daily. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Basically, just that I would hope that if there was someone as bad, and I'm sure that there is, we just maybe don't know about them quite as publicly on the left as mm-hmm. Ted Cruz. I hope that we would steer clear and just find a third party candidate we could all agree on.
Yeah.
I don't get why people like him. Like, when I think about Ted Cruz, even the whole back and forth about Cancun, to me, it was one of those things where him coming back was just as bad as him leaving. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like, Ted's back. Yeah. And it's like, oh no.
Yeah.
He don't do nothing. Ted being back don't help nobody.
Yeah.
So I'd rather him be in Cancun, leave him in Cancun, don't let him come back.
Yeah, yeah. He's a gremlin.
Leave him there, don't let him come back.
Yeah, I'm like, what? I was like, Ted's back. Cool. Like, great. Are you happy?
Which gremlin?
Which gremlin? He's the dumb, crazy one with the cross eyes.
Yeah.
Who, like, that laugh.
I liked Cristela Alonso's tweet. It just said, it's so weird that Ted Cruz would go to Mexico to seek refuge from Texas. That was a good one. There were another couple of them that were like, guys, Ted Cruz just wanted to get over the border to seek a better life for his family, give him a break.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Really good. Good. I saw a couple memes of him, his face on one of the Capitol insurrection stormer people's bodies, but instead of that podium they were holding, it's just a giant frozen margarita. I really enjoyed the Photoshop skills this week.
Why do people continue to vote for him? There's got to be like another Texas man, right? Like, I mean, it's not like
he
when he votes
water for them, because that's the thing I was
because
saying.
Because he's a bootlicker.
Yeah, because even I say he licks through the boot into the foot.
I know he licks between the toes.
Oh, there's already been too much toe and foot talk.
He licks between the toes, but it is because you're wearing those socks that have or those shoes that have the individual toes.
Vibrams. Yeah.
That's what they're called.
Why do I know that? Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit of shit, and then I was like, of the people who I respect, and I say this with love, Tawny's the person who might have a pair of those shoes.
No,
I'm not saying you do.
Yes.
I'm not saying you do.
I agree.
Kind of. Yeah.
I would never have them. You think this
I know
does
that.
Nate have them? Does Nate have
Nate
them?
Nate does not have them. No, I'm just a weird silo of information. I keep it all and it's filed away. I'll hear something once and it's tucked away back in there. And then on a podcast, I'll be like, Vibrams. Like, that's my burden that I live with. The reason I know this is because the band Nate and I met in had a trombone player who used to wear them to gigs. Uh-huh. So he would wear them to a rock show.
Yeah.
And that is why I know.
Wait, did you guys meet in a ska band?
I'm insulted. I hate all of you. We need to take a break. And we're back, and I've cooled off.
Thank God. We all had to express our regrets.
Wait, Tawny, did you guys meet in a ska band?
No, how dare you repeat that?
Exactly, he repeated it.
Exactly. I didn't know if it got lost in the thing or if you were ignoring
it. No, it was her.
No, that's why I cut to break. It was not a ska band. It was just a rock and roll band that had horns in it sometimes. But that man wore feet shoes.
He didn't pick it up.
I'm gonna let this go. I'm not gonna follow up with my anything else. What the fudge were we? Oh yes. Here's what I thought you were gonna say. Ask Andy, which is that like, how do we talk about bootlickers of color? Because that is, you know, just to get a little more on theme for the people on here, especially the white people in the audience who may have a tough time with vocabulary when talking about like your Candace Owens or your Dinesh D'Souza's or your Ted Cruz's, because it's like, you know, those are the people that it's hardest to call racist.
Mm-hmm.
Because
no, for dumb people it is.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. Like, how could I be racist if I'm not white? Is the response that they would throw back at you. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it a little bit on this show, but you know, if there's any new listeners or whatever, you know, if you say, I guess it's just easy to be like, those assholes all just uphold white supremacy above everything else.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. And it's like, you can also hate yourself as a minority because the world has kind of conditioned you to think you're less than, which goes back to what you just said about white supremacy. But it's like, Candace Owens hates black people, but also she wants to be, quote, one of the good ones, end quote. Yeah. Like, to me, I'm like, part of her feeling good or accepting her blackness is to be the black person in the room who the whites could say, she's all right. We like Candy. I bet they call her Candy.
You know what I mean? Because how do you get closest to the thing that you want? If the thing that you want is power, and if in this country and most other countries, that power is upheld by people who look a certain way, you want to get closest to them, and you discover, by and large, while there are some good ones, most of these people who have the power don't like what I am. So I'm going to cuddle up to them by also saying what they're saying, and by also trying to be the exception.
I will say, and this is actually the tiniest shred of integrity for Ted Cruz, is he very rarely pulls out the Cuban stuff.
Never, I know. Edward Cruz never says a word.
He simply is a white supremacist and wants to be a white racist.
Yes.
I mean, you know, in a way that I was like, you know what? I feel like a different, I guess actually the other side of it is like a Beto O'Rourke, where you're like, okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
What's wild is that when I first became aware of Ted Cruz, we got so many Cruzes that aren't Latinx. I just thought he was a white man because he was pulling such bullshit that I was like, well, Tom Cruise is a white man. I wasn't looking at spellings. I was literally just like, this is a white Texan because of the way that he votes and speaks and treats people.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Do you guys think, I mean, Andrew, in the time you've done the show is what, 12 years? Something like that?
Just the show going to be driving soon.
It's a bar mitzvah time for Yo, Is This Racist?
Aw.
Have you seen a better understanding in the audience of structural racism and what that means? Because I think that's, I think part of the reason people can't understand that if you are non-white, that you can still be racist, because they don't understand what structural racism is and how it doesn't matter who you are.
It just
creates pathways, and if you fall into those pathways and start there's also I also find it strange that there is you can actually designate someone a racist. There's racist behavior, and if someone does enough of it, I think you can call them a racist in this But like,
it takes really 10,000 hours to be a pilot, but I think it's a little less.
You do.
You fly enough planes, you're a pilot, but you do enough racist shit.
Well, I mean, the answer, unfortunately, Andy, is that it's probably like a self-fulfilling thing, which is like the audience. It is pretty tough to say whether this show or the culture creates a more educated listener, or the show drives away people who don't think like that.
Honestly, it's tough to say whether this show drives people away or not. Like, we could just say that.
So it's like a sculpture, right? The idea, like Michelangelo sculpting the David. It was like, no, the David is in this block. And we're chipping away the detritus to get at the David. And that's what you're saying. You're chipping away the dummies who don't understand structural
racism. I'm saying that a chisel, if you think of a chisel as a not David machine, then that is a correct way of making this analogy. There is also the culture, right? Like, it is like generally the people have become more educated about racism in the last, two and a half decades when we've been doing this show. So it's like, is it like, I don't know. It's like a process. And then we get new people who are, that's the thing about this show that is a little interesting, is that like, the audience is like wildly fractured, right? There's like people who like really understand. I mean, and I guess it probably cuts along racial lines, but like, you guys did a regular live show. When we do our live show, there is a thing where you're like, you can kind of see it's like over indexes for like white women and over indexes for mixed race couples.
Just like our show.
Well, but in a sense where you're like, okay. So yeah. Who are we talking to?
Right.
Like.
I was going to say, I also notice, and like lately in a lot of the calls, there are a lot of people who identify, they tell us that they are biracial or they're mixed race or they are white presenting people of color. So I kind of feel like this is sort of what I call like the in-betweeners crowd, where we're like kind of these in-between people who haven't been so steeped in one culture that we've had a lot of practice at honing it and wielding it and asking for, you know, correct treatment for it and telling people how we want to be treated in that way. So maybe there's been like confusion growing up. So I'm finding that we get a lot of those folks who, which really, like, if I had my dream, this show would just be centered at those people. Like, not to exclude mm-hmm. anyone, but truly if I could just answer questions that are like, anyone who feels like they aren't sure whether they can claim whatever, whatever, because there are multiple things, that's what I would love. But occasionally we do still get a call that's like, I'm white. My girlfriend says I can't say insert slur. Should I break up with her? And we're just like, oh my God, I yeah. gotta go. What are we, why do you listen?
It's hard. You're like, yeah, why are you here? Why do you keep listening? Why did you listen? You had to listen at least to the end of one episode to find the fucking phone number. So like, yeah. the yeah. fuck happened? What is happening here? Speaking yeah. of, we should do at least one voicemail. Given the rambunctious conversation, there's a chance we might not end up doing two. But let's listen to one. And if we ignore it, we ignore it. But let's at least have played a voicemail.
Hi, my name's AJ, and I'm a white lesbian living in the Bible Belt. My question is, when I am on Bumble or Tinder, I usually swipe left on women of color because I worry that I'm not going to be able to relate to their experience as a queer woman of color living in the South. And I worry that we're not going to be able to connect because I won't be able to relate to that. So is it racist for me to be swiping left on them? Thank you.
Yes.
Next question.
Naomi.
Yes. I'm sorry. Do you get in deep? I haven't listened in a while. The answer is yes. It's like, you're literally, first of all, if they live in your area, then y'all got some shit in common. If what you're, so it's like, it can't be that. It's like, what? Am I racist? Yes.
Where does she say she's from?
She just says Southern South. Bible Belt.
Southern
Bible,
Bible Belt. Yeah. Hey, you go to the Cracker Barrel lately?
Don't give her things
she's
that
like,
they
I don't mean
have
my parents'
common.
House. Cracker Barrel, my parents' house. What?
No, but that's a good point. They know they live in the same area. They're both presumably queer women. If they're on this app looking for other queer women, then right. that's already two things you got in common. I right. find it interesting that I think that this is not what's going on in the caller's brain. I think the caller mm-hmm. thinks that they're going, oh, I won't know how to blah, blah, blah. Like, that's like me going to a restaurant and being like, I won't understand this menu. When really it's like, I can't read it, or I'm scared, or I don't, you know, mm-hmm. it's fear. You're right. scared of
ceviche.
Them for some reason.
Exactly. Ceviche. Is it raw? Is it cooked?
Oh, I can't get ceviche. We won't be compatible. It's like, just say you're scared of raw fish. Well, I did not mean for this pun to be so gross and on the nose. That was
so here's a question though, because it is like I think like the first listen, it's pretty clear that this caller is like sort of like rationalizing trying to use the language of wokeness to just mm-hmm. say
right.
I don't want to date black people.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too. It's like that's why I'm like, it is because my the question would be like, well, do you think this person's cute? Right.
Right.
And if you do or don't, if you don't, racist, but a preference.
Right.
But it's also like the way these apps work, it's not like if you swipe right on somebody, they show up at your house. Like you swipe right and you start a dialogue and you're not even willing to have that dialogue.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
But then
a delivery. It's not. So, it's not
oh, that's a great idea for a dating app, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody shows
Just,
up. With
they
food.
Show up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then my second thought, because everyone besides me is currently in an interracial relationship right now, which is...
Should I get him? He's just down there.
He's like building an addition to the house. He's very handy.
He would not enjoy this. Please continue, Andrew.
my question is like, yes, like the caller is sort of like rationalizing their racism. However... Mm. Is there a world where, like, I mean, like, there's, it feels like this person actually shouldn't be dating black women because of that racism. So then you're like, well, does it all just kind of work out? Or is this right result, wrong reasons?
I mean, maybe. Andrew, I knew you were going to go there with that, because Andrew's always like, maybe we're sparing these queer women of color from this person who clearly has such mixed up feelings about them. I would like to say, I'll be the Goldilocks on the other end, just to give a spectrum and say that maybe it's not racism, but maybe it is a supreme discomfort with people of color. I don't think it's just that you're concerned you guys won't have stuff to talk about and you want to preserve their experience because you won't be able to relate. I think you've wound yourself into a convenient little mind pyramid to come up with that one. But what's really happening is that you are not comfortable with women of color, and you got to explore why that is, mm-hmm. because they are everywhere around you, and you may not think that your discomfort is coming out in other ways, but it most certainly is. If you're swiping on an app and you're seeing a hot never in my life have I seen a hot person and been like, oh, we just won't be able to relate. Never. I'm like, that person's gorgeous.
Well, that's what I do say, actually. When someone's really hot, I go, we won't be able to relate.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to engage with someone.
Your life is too easy.
Yeah, I'm like, you're too hot. I can't
You've
even.
You've never struggled for a moment.
People love you before you open your mouth.
You've never had a problem paying a bill.
I once went to an audition, and there was a very hot male actor wearing just a leather bike jacket with no shirt on underneath. And I was like, I hate this for me. I hate this for you. I hate that we're sharing the same space right now. This is what's happening.
Was it for the same role? Were you guys going up against each other?
No, but what's insane is that there were a ton of guys like him, and then there were like women not at all like me. And so I was like, oh, and they were supposed to be love interests. So I was like, I am not getting this job.
So this wasn't like High School Musical casting.
No, I haven't gone to one of those in a while, but I would like to. If any producers are listening, I would be a great Sharpay. Thank you.
Is this person coming at... Okay, just to...
Andy loves to unpack it.
Throw all the possibilities onto the table. Is this person coming at this from this super ultra woke point of view? Where that... Like, I've seen this on the left, and it's just... I personally think it's not as bad, but it's close to as bad as, like, the racist right. Yeah, where they are... Where they get so in their head about like other groups that they're like, well, I'll never be able to bridge the gap between their experience is so particular. Like the leftist identitarians who like reduce everything to ethnicity.
So you mean like most LA writers rooms, most TV writers rooms, which is why they are the way they are. I'm like, you're racist. I'm sorry. You're racist. Yeah. And the reason why I have to repeat it is because the person is using the language of wokeness and telling themselves that they're not.
Right. That's why
you are.
Yeah.
And like, it's fine. Like, live your honey, you're in the right place. Right. Bible Belt, keep at it. So just stay where you are if you're going to be racist. Right. But just know you are.
That's why it's a different flavor, but it's not far away from actual.
It's Rocky Road to their mud tracks.
Andy, I know what you're saying, though. I know that you're saying there is a sliver of the population that has truly convinced themselves, of the white population that has truly convinced themselves that we, as in people of color, are better off if they leave us alone. Which is
I wasn't even saying that. I was just trying to get in this person's head.
But no, it is that idea, though.
But I think it dovetails into that, where people truly are like, well, we shouldn't go into any African restaurants, and we should, you know, there's a lot of people being like, don't go see Black Panther the first weekend. Let them have this. Like, those are real tweets. And I was like, y'all are doing too much. We know how to navigate, y'all.
That's all we do. Right. Is
that's all we've done ever.
It's like, so give us your money.
Someone who yells at their husband for wearing orange and purple. I didn't want to even say kente cloth. I was thinking the furthest.
The color orange?
The color orange. The furthest.
You got to walk us a little closer to it.
Oh, my God. My mom just gave a little biracial baby a kente cloth mask because his mom was like, his favorite color is orange. She goes, well, all I got is kente. I'll make him a kente one. And this is not a black child. And he was cute as a button.
I think maybe the other side of it too is like the caller is okay. If the giving the caller way too much benefit of the doubt, which is like maybe you're overthinking dating, but like it's like maybe you wouldn't feel like you couldn't relate to this experience if you had friends of color. Like it's just like and you don't have to like make. You don't have to make it so much. You can just be like, make a friend. Start there. Start slower.
Andrew, I love that your instinct, as is mine, to kind of maybe give the caller more benefit of the doubt because we love our callers and presumably this person listens to us. So, you know, they are not the
I'm
great
like
white
Satan.
I'm like
meaner to someone else's listeners because on couples therapy, I give the benefit of the doubt. But I come on Yoza's radio, you're racist. That's
you
can
do,
bang my gavel.
You can do whatever you want. The other good thing about our callers is that they are very sturdy. We have said
they
some
love the abuse.
To people. And they will straight up comment to us like, thank you so much. I was on some bullshit. So I'm not worried about this person's feelings being hurt. Caller, we love you. We support you. We're trying to make you better. But I'm just laughing at the fact that even when Andrew was trying to say nice things, it was still a terrifying drag telling them to get friends.
I'm just throwing it out there.
If anyone is like weirded out by anyone else's ethnicity, it's racist, right? That's just the
weirded out is the
whatever verb you want to use. Yeah. That's just the baseline. I feel like
weirded out is pretty close. Like, cause it's not like hate, but it is like, yeah. And you're like,
discomfort.
Really? How are you gonna be uncomfortable with is someone who you share so much with?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, presumably.
Right.
You can't fucking learn about another race.
Also, this is an insane thing that I even have to say, but I have to say it as a weird black person. Just because they're black on an app doesn't mean they are very culturally black or they like a bunch of black shit.
Yeah.
So if you're worried you're not going to have something in common with a black person you see on an app, you know, I will remind you that we do a lot of different things. I am in a country band, ma'am. So just get over it and find somebody you like. I hope you find love. How should we do that?
I'm like 50-50. Let's do okay. I think we're good. We can do one more. And
yeah,
then
we can do one more.
We'll
do one more.
Like, well, maybe we'll talk a little fast, but not that fast. And yeah, let's do it.
Hi, Andrew, Tani, and guest. I'm calling because my boss introduces me as being from the country my mother immigrated from. Not to divulge my identity, I'll just say it's in Africa. I'm biracial, black and white. I was born in the U.S., which is another thing that she seems to like to forget. It bothers me because it's just not nuanced or really how I like to be introduced when I'm meeting people for the first time. Of course, I mean, I did live in my mom's country as a child, and I love that part of my heritage. But I don't speak the native language, and I feel like if you don't speak the language, then you can't really own that. But I haven't really said anything to her about it, because I feel like if I, you know, confronted her, it could also come off as me trying to distance myself from that side of my heritage, which feels yucky. And so I'm wondering, you know, who's the racist in this scenario? Thank you. Bye.
What an easy answer. If someone refers to you as Janet from Kenya, they're racist.
Hey, as an intro.
Have you met my employee, Nigerian Nancy over here? She's great. Yep, straight up from Nigeria. Yeah.
I will say, Cote d'Ivoire Katie over here, not doing the spreadsheets right.
What an insane thing. Oh, my God.
It's from different directions, but both the theme of the callers this week is like just a weird over-rationalization kind of like y'all are overthinking this significantly.
So let me start at the end. Caller, I know what you're worried about. You don't want them to be like, here's Janet from Kenya. And you'd be like, no, I'm not. I'm from here. Like, you don't want to be like, fuck Kenya. I'm from Ohio. I get how that can sound wild to you. So I think you just need a soft but direct response. I was going to say my response would have been when they say, hey, this is Nancy from Nigeria. Just go, never been there. But you did say you lived there when you were a kid. So some version of that that's like.
But just like, you know, Nigeria and Detroit. You know, like something that's a little like, you know, like I'm giving you, well, that's me. You know,
yeah, but I was going to say like that. That is Naomi's expertise in navigating white spaces.
Oh, yeah. You got to have a little something.
You got to have a little quip. It's got to be a little funny, but also a little scary. Like, they got to want to not want to poke anymore because they're not sure if you're mad at them or if you're just being, if you're just doing some of our classic African-American humor. so you got to leave them in that space where they don't know. And I'll tell you, Naomi, your time in a writer's room is probably very similar to my time on set. And it's quite a skill to hone. But
Yeah. It takes a little time. But it's like, it's also like when someone, when you're balking at, you know, when you feel like, oh, I don't know if I should claim it, whatever, whatever. It's like you're balking at someone telling other people who you are before you get to do it. You know, like that's not about, so that's what I hear. It's like you're not trying to discount anything or, you know, kick your blackness to the curb, but just like you can be both and all. And, you know, it's kind of like, let's have a conversation first before I give you my backstory. You know, that's what's like to be the weird part too.
You don't want to be reduced to where your dad's from when you first meet someone.
You also don't want, like, if someone literally was like, this is Jewish Andy.
Like,
what?
That, I mean, weird. It's so wild. That the, like the collar went so far down when it's like, the question is in the first five words. It's like, my boss always introduces me with, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
what?
That's not even close to appropriate. You don't have to accept any of anything subsequent to this. Like, none of that train of thought needed to happen because it is wild and just like wildly inappropriate for your boss to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you don't feel comfortable with a quip, I know some of our callers are so very earnest and they're not
Well, part of it is like we are like, leave the comedy to the professionals. Like,
but that's true. We are like, everyone shut up. No one's funny but us. That is our problem. And I take responsibility for that. But I know some of you, especially some of our new listeners, some of you are very, very earnest and you don't want to be a dead-eyed husk of a comedy woman like I am. So here's an option for that crowd. Say something to the boss that's like, hey, I would appreciate if when you introduce me, you don't include my mother's country of origin because I feel more connected to actually being from here. And that is a fine thing to say. You're not denigrating your, you know, your Benin history. You're just saying I'm from here, but just you don't have to say I'm from anywhere. You know, I think you do need to tell your boss that. And just make sure somebody else is in the room when you tell them, just so that the words don't get twisted and someone says, she freaked out on me about bullshit. Just have a little witness. Right. That's all.
Oh, it's just like, it's also funny because, like, of course, and this, I love my follow-ups, where do you work, right? Because the first thought I have is like some sort of nonprofit where you're the only brown person, so they want to say where you from to get their bona fides. Because I'm like, who, like, in what context are you even introducing somebody by their country of origin? Like that, I'm like, where? What?
I do hired work? Someone from Kenya.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like I hired, you know what I mean? Like I hired an Afrikaan.
Do you work for the only white person at like the Nigerian consulate? Where they're like, this is Katie. She's from there. She's from there with you guys. So don't worry. I'm fine.
What a twist if that were the case. That would be, but I once again, we're left with over-rationalization in one area and insufficient information in another, which is like, it feels like many calls we've had, which is like, it's hard to confront your racist boss. It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, but you just have another racist boss. So I don't know. Do our advice on that.
The sneaky way is you can very directly, but very kindly kind of correct them in front of a person and they will never do it wrong again because they will be very embarrassed.
That's true.
If they just say like,
or fire you.
No.
That's true.
No.
If he's like gentle. If it's
like
a
you
gentle,
don't live in a capitalist country.
I know, but if it's gentle, because if she's so obsessed with her being black, you can't fire a black person.
No. Especially you know what I mean? Like, HR is like, why did you get fired? It's like, well, I corrected him and told him I'm not, you know, South African Suzanne.
Right.
They would find some. Look, I mean,
okay, fine, Andy.
No, but I'm just saying. Like, what's really tough about this is they'd be like, well, you didn't do the spreadsheets right.
You're difficult.
They would fire
like, you know,
unless
not
they
a team
felt
player.
Untouchable.
Yeah.
They wouldn't fire you for that. They would figure out something else.
We don't know where you work. We don't know if you're untouchable or not. Maybe you're the best tire rotator at the Pep Boys. We have no information. Because you kept your call short, and for that, we love you and we thank you.
Yeah.
So tread with caution. You have some comedy options. You have some direct but kind options. You have an option where you can embarrass your boss in front of an important person. go apply it to your life as you see fit. Go with God. We trust you.
Yeah. Most importantly, your boss is racist, and you don't have to worry about any of the other like train of thought you had. None of that shit. It was the right. You're taking the wrong train on that one, because you could just get off at the first stop and do whatever you feel works best.
Hey, Andrew and Tawny, can you guys hold on a second? We're driving towards this cliff.
Oh. And next week on Couples Therapy. We're this is the wrap-up stage of the show. So thank you, Andy and Naomi, for being here. We would say listen to Couples Therapy, but obviously listen to Couples Therapy, but especially if you want to find out a secret from Andrew or Andy, one of the A's, next week on Couples Therapy. How's that for something fun for the crew?
So Andy and Naomi, other than people tuning in on March 2nd to listen to our secrets, what do you want to tell the people? Where can they find you?
Well, I want everyone to know that Saturday, March 13th, we will be hosting a live Couples Therapy, where you can get tickets at dynastytypewriter.com, and that is the Couples Therapy Quarantine Party.
Woo! Colon, ooh, one year in isolation.
Yes,
wow, yeah.
Marks one year
we
in
went into quarantine.
Wow. And we will be celebrating with wonderful guests.
Dwayne Perkins.
We love him. He's seven. Star of the Rise. And we will be answering questions. So, you know, that'll be a good time to live.
Dwayne and I spent a long time being angry at Second City in Chicago because we were some of the only black people there. And now we're both angry at a lot of people in Hollywood being some of the only black people here. So, you know, it's fun to watch how nothing changes is what's fun.
Oh, my God. JR's body. Someone shot him.
What?
Someone shot JR.
No!
I was find out. Thank you for listening. Yo's is racist on social media. Tronny Newman, Andrew T, 323-397-223. Okay.
And also Suboptimal Pods if you want to hear our Cinderella watch along that we did last week. It was a hoot, y'all. What continent is Jason Alexander from? We do not know. And take a look at those funky ass little plastic slippers that Brandy stuck her bare toes in. It's disgusting.
Impossible for a plain pumpkin to become.
Yep. The song last week ended with this song, or the show last week. Okay, we're going to go. Suboptimalpods.com.
Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
This is Suboptimal.